morning to turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. 2 Kings, chapter 4. I'd like to read the first 7 verses. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. What we read here, of course, concerns a certain woman. We're not given her name, just referred to as a certain woman. We do know that she was a widow, that she was married to one of the sons of the prophets, and she is stuck in what appears to be a hopeless situation. What we have here is the account of how that God worked a miracle in her life, setting her free from her situation. And we want to speak this morning on the subject of breaking free. Breaking free. Like all events recorded in the Word of God, there is much instruction for you and I. There is much comfort to be gathered. There is much encouragement, and there is that which challenges our hearts as well. The Word of God, of course, is always more meaningful when you can include yourself in what you're reading, and you ought to always try to do that, and include yourself in what you're reading. And we see that this woman experienced the miraculous in her life, and she's set free. She has been set free. And there are a lot of God's people, some sitting here right now, that are in desperate need of the miraculous in their lives. And to those who need a miracle in their lives, you need to take note of the steps leading up to this miracle. There are 6 steps, and then the final step is she is set free. So we want to take note of some things leading up to this miracle. First of all, she realized her situation. She realized her need. We are told in verse 1 that she had suffered a great loss. Her husband, who had been faithful in God's service, has passed away. He has died. So she's a widow. We see also that there was debt. The creditor is come. We see also that she had two sons. It was her responsibility, of course, to care for these two sons. So she has two sons, but she has no husband. She has no money. The only thing she has is a pot of oil. She has no food. She obviously has no source of income. There were no government programs to apply to. And there were really no prospects for improvement. This was her situation. And she was fully aware of her situation. But on top of all of that, we see also that she was faced with disaster. She says here in verse 1, the creditor is come. That is, he's going to come. The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. On top of everything else that she has experienced, this, of course, would be an utter disaster. Now, I imagine that this woman had been harassed by the creditor in days gone by, and perhaps she had perhaps the reason that all she has now is a pot of oil, because up to this time she had been giving whatever she had to the creditor. And now all she has left is a pot of oil. And she knows that the next time the creditor comes, he's going to take my two sons and sell them or use them as slaves. So death had already taken her husband, and now she is in danger of losing her children. She's in danger of losing her two sons. So her situation is very serious, and she is facing that which is going to be very traumatic. She is in desperate need. Her need was legitimate. Not all needs are legitimate. But this woman had a legitimate need. It was urgent. There's a sense of urgency in her whole story. She had run out of options. I'm sure she tried to think of everything. And again, up to this point, perhaps she had given the creditor everything that she had. But she had run out of options. She had run out of resources. And she was running out of time, because the creditor is going to come very soon. And he is going to take my two sons. So things were very dark. Things were very grim. And the future looks very, very bleak. Disaster is on the horizon. The creditor is coming to take my two sons. And as you read her words here in verse 1, my husband is dead. The creditor is come to take unto my two sons. These are the words of a woman who has many, many needs, many burdens, many problems. These are the words of one who is absolutely overwhelmed with her situation. She's under the weight of tremendous pressure. Again, you and I cannot imagine the pressure. Perhaps you've been there. You can imagine the pressure of the creditor. You can imagine the pressure of financial problems. But you cannot imagine the creditor taking your children. You might imagine the creditor taking your car. You might imagine the creditor taking your home. You may be able to identify with that. But you cannot identify with the creditor is going to take my children. And this was what was at stake here. But so she had a very serious need. She is facing a great problem. But she realized it. She knew it. But sad to say, that's as far as a lot of people get. They realize their circumstances. They realize their circumstances are dire. They realize that their life is chaos. They realize the sorrow that they feel. They realize the heartache and the grief and the disappointment and the anxiety. And we see all that in this woman. And they realize that. But if that's as far as you get, you'll never break free. You've got to get further than that. This woman could have sat in her house and just moaned and groaned until the creditors come and took her sons, and then she could have spent the rest of her life in loneliness, realizing her need, but that's as far as she got. But she went further than that. And we all have needs, we all have problems, but you have to, and we all realize that, but you have to go further than that. You have to go several steps further than that. We see the next thing that she did was she went to the Lord. We read here that she came to God through the prophet Elisha. In verse 1, we read, "Now there cried a certain woman." But it doesn't stop there. That can be said of many today. There cried a certain woman. There cried a certain man. They realize their need. They realize their problem. And they cry and they cry and they cry. But that won't break you free. That won't set you free. But notice she cried unto Elisha. What that means is she was seeking the Lord through the prophet Elisha. Now notice there's several things she didn't do. She did not turn to the world for advice. She sought the Lord through Elisha. She did not turn to alcohol to cause her to forget temporarily her problems. She didn't give up. She didn't cast blame. Now, we don't know. Perhaps her husband just died and perhaps he had built up debt. We don't know. Perhaps he's been gone for some time and as a result, the debt has come. But whatever the case, nowhere does she cast blame. And she does not divorce herself from the truth. She continues to believe. She continues to believe in God. She does not question God. And she does not cease contact with the people of God. She cried unto the Lord. She cried unto Elisha. She is seeking God through Elisha. And she does so out of great distress. She does so out of a sense of great need. She cries unto Elisha because she knows that she is helpless and that her situation is one of urgency. And I believe she cried unto Elisha not because she believed that he was able to give her money, that he was able to somehow help her financially. But she cried unto Elisha because she knew that he was a spokesman for the Lord. And she knew that he could instruct her as to what God would have her to do. What she is doing by seeking Elisha is she is seeking God's help. She is seeking God's will. She realizes her need. But you've got to get further than that. You've got to go a step further. You realize your need, now take it to the Lord. These are steps that will enable you to break free. She was searching for answers. She was searching for solutions. So where did she go? She went to the Lord. And we all have times in our lives where we're searching for answers. We're searching for solutions. Where do you go? Where do you turn? You need to go to the Lord. You need to turn to the Lord. She needed a miracle. So where did she go? When you need a miracle, who do you go to? Do you go to Benny Hinn? No, you go to God. You go to the Lord. You go to the one who can work miracles. But you see, many will stop just realizing I have this need, and that's where they'll sit for the rest of their lives. Others will go a step further, and they will seek the Lord. But you can't stop there. You can't stop there. Well, I told the Lord about it, and nothing's happened. You can't stop there. So now you have this need, you realize your need, you go to the Lord. And by going to the Lord, she was brought to recognize what she had. Elisha asked her the question. First of all, he asked her, "What do you want me to do for you?" And before she could answer, he asked her a second question. "Tell me what is in thy house." And the first thing she said was, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save or except a pot of oil." Why didn't she say, "I have a pot of oil"? Why didn't she just say that? Why did she say, I have not anything except"? You see where the emphasis is? The emphasis is, "I have not anything." The emphasis is, "I have nothing." That's where the emphasis is. But as she talks to Elisha, he asked her, "What do you have?" And she realized that she did have this pot of oil. My point is, many concentrate on what they don't have. And you can spend the rest of your life concentrating on what you don't have rather than what you do have. And may I say, for God's people, we always have something. We have the blessings of God. But why is it? Why is it that we tend to focus on our scarcity rather than God's unlimited resources? We all do that. But she was brought to realize what she had. And many live their lives in fear. They live their lives in bondage. They never break free. They never advance to the next spiritual level, because the only thing they focus on is what I don't have. What I don't have. And the truth is, if you give them something else, they'll still focus on what I don't have. What I don't have. We need to focus on what we do have in the Lord. What we have in God. And we need to focus on God's unlimited resources. So she realizes her need. She comes to God. She is brought to realize that she has something. And then the next step is, she listened to God's instruction. It's not enough to just go to God in prayer. It's not enough to go to God for instruction. You can't stop there. If you're going to take the time, if you're going to take the effort to go to God for instruction, listen to what He has to say. That makes sense. And we see in verse 3, He said, "Go borrow vessels of all thy neighbors, That is, go through the neighborhood, borrow all the empty vessels that you can borrow. Get as many as you possibly can. And then you come home, verse 4, and you shut the door behind you and your sons, and you take that pot of oil and you pour it into all the empty vessels that you have. And notice it says, pour, set aside that which is full. So she wasn't just to pour a few little drops in each vessel, she was to fill it up. Each vessel she was to fill with this oil from this one pot. Now she did not say, that doesn't make any sense. I've come to you for instruction, and now you tell me to do something that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. God often does that. That's why God tells us that His reasoning is not our reasoning. That's something we always have to keep in mind. She did not say, excuse me, Elisha. Did you not hear me say, what? Did you not listen? Did you not hear me say, I have one pot of oil? One pot of oil. How in the world am I going to take that one pot and fill all the empty vessels that you want me to borrow? And many get stuck here. They realize their need. They go to God with their need. They receive instruction from God. But the instruction they receive makes no sense. So they get stuck. And they're questioning God. And I've known people who have been trying to figure it out all their lives. And they're still stuck. They're still stuck. Well, God told me to quit my job. How much sense does that make in this economy? Makes a lot of sense if God told you to do it. Well, God told me to move to such and such a place. Don't get stuck because it doesn't make sense. This is part of faith. Those who get stuck questioning God, those who get stuck trying to figure it all out and trying to get all their ducks in order, they'll never break free. Well, I'll do what God says, but this has to happen, this. Everything's got to be in order. God doesn't work that way usually. There may be times when God does work that way, but for the most part, all through His Word, that's not how He works. He says, you do this, and it'll work. Now, it's obvious to me that this woman, she believed what Elisha was telling her, because that brings us to the next step. She not only listened to the instruction of God, she obeyed. She did what Elisha said. Now, do you think that this woman understood how that one pot of oil could fill multiple vessels? I don't think so. She did not understand how in the world is this going to work. But she obeyed anyway. And if you're going to wait till you understand, you might be stuck the rest of your life. Because God wants us to step out when we don't understand. And she simply believed. She said, I don't know how it's going to work. It doesn't make any sense to me. How in the world can one pot of oil fill all these empty vessels? But I believe that God is able to do what He says. And that's the step we have to take. We have to believe that God is able. She lays aside all of her pride, and she surrenders to God's way. Again, these are steps that lead to being set free. She surrendered to the way of God. Her faith was active. You know, she could have called her neighbors and said, you know, here's my situation. I talked to Elisha, and here's what Elisha told me to do. He told me to take the one pot of oil that I have and fill all these empty vessels. And the neighbors would have said, that's foolish. What you need to do is you need to go down here and you need to borrow this. And they'd have all kinds of solutions. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. They follow one solution after another. You can always, if you have a problem, I guarantee you there are 50 people around you that know the solution. And they know what you should do. It's amazing. They never know what they should do, but they always know what you should do. Whatever your problem is, I don't care what it is. Whatever your problem is, they know what you should do. But she didn't concern herself with all the other solutions that would be offered. She only concerned herself with what God said. And her faith was persistent. She went to the neighbors and she began to ask for empty vessels. May I borrow an empty vessel? I live down the road, and may I borrow whatever empty vessels you can spare. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter what size they are. If you just have any empty vessels that I could borrow. If you have milk pails, vinegar jugs, whatever, doesn't matter. May I just borrow empty vessels? And I'm sure there were some who went and they gathered some empty vessels and gave the woman, never asked her anything. But there are others who said, what in the world for? Why do you want empty vessels? And again, she would give her reason. All I have is a pot of oil. The creditor is going to take my sons, and Elisha told me to borrow empty vessels and pour my pot of oil into all these empty vessels. Can you imagine the ridicule? Can you imagine the mockery? And I imagine she didn't have to go too far. She didn't have to go to too many houses before the ridicule and the mockery started. That didn't stop her. She didn't just throw up her hands and say, forget this. I have more pride than this. She just kept on going from door to door. And I'm sure there were people who said, woman, have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? Are you crazy? Everyone knows that such foolishness isn't going to work. But she just kept going from house to house, believing and obeying what God said. She believed. She didn't know how God was going to do it. How's he going to take that little oil and fill all these empty vessels that I'm borrowing? I don't know how he's going to do it, but he said he would. And I just have to trust him. And that's how it is with you and I. Don't try, we all do it. You try to figure out how God's going to do something. And he'll do it in a way that you never thought of. He'll do it through people that you know, don't even know. And they don't know you. Well, how's that going to happen? All that God's people would learn to just trust God. And the wonderful experiences of how God provides a way. And after a while, after God provides a way enough time, eventually it sinks in. You know what? God can. God can do it. So she goes out, she borrows all these empty vessels, she returns home, She shuts the door. Her and her sons go into the house. She takes that one pot of oil. Her sons bring her one vessel, perhaps a vessel larger than her pot of oil. And she pours. And the vessel is full. And her pot of oil is still full. Her sons bring another vessel. And she pours. And that vessel is full. And her pot of oil is still full. She doesn't understand how it's happening. But it's happening. And eventually, she fills all the empty vessels. And she says to her son, she says, bring me another vessel. And he says, Mom, that's all there is. All the vessels that we borrowed, they're all full. Then what did she do? So she's done what God said. But she still hasn't paid any of her bills. The creditor is still coming. So what does she do? She goes to Elisha for further instruction. You see, that's what we're to do. God doesn't usually, you go to God with a problem, God doesn't usually give you the whole picture all at once. He says, you do this. And then when you do that, then you go to him for further instruction. And that's what she did. Notice in verse 7. We see in verse 6, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. She said, I've done what you've said. I've gone, I've borrowed all the empty vessels that I could borrow. And I took my one pot of oil and I filled all those vessels. And I still have my one pot of oil. Now what do you want me to do? And he said, go sell the oil. Go sell the oil. Now I don't care how many nights you lay in bed, tossing and turning, thinking, how can I pay this bill? How can I prevent the creditor from coming and getting my two sons? And it hits you in the middle of the night. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go borrow as many empty vessels as I can. And I'm going to take that little bit of oil and I'm going to fill all those vessels with that little oil. You'd have never thought of it. It had never crossed your mind. But that's what God did. And that's why it's an utter effort in futility and all that we would learn. We lay abed at night, we toss, we turn, how are we going to do this, how are we going to do that? You can't even think of a way. You may not ever think of the solution. But God has it. So she does what God says, and then she returned for further instruction. He said, now go sell the oil. And the money you receive from the oil, you pay your debt and live and thy children on the rest. Now you imagine the joy that this woman had when she filled that first empty vessel. And she looked at her pot of oil and all the oil's still there. And then she filled the second and then the third and then the fourth. And her joy is just getting greater and greater and greater. And then imagine the joy that filled her heart when she went and sold the oil and they put money in her hand. Imagine the joy. And then imagine when the creditor came. And he said, ma'am, here's your balance. You pay me today, or I take your sons. And she counted it out. Paid her debt. Kept her sons. And then her and her sons lived on the rest for the rest of their lives. And I believe that this woman never again experienced a creditor coming to her door. God set her free. But there were steps. There were steps that got her to that point. We learn from all of this a truth that we need to always keep in our minds. God can. God can. No matter what your situation, no matter what your problem, no matter what your need, no matter what your obstacle, no matter how heavy the load may be, no matter how fierce the storm may be, no matter how bad the habit might be, God can. God can. And God has a way. And we learn that passage after passage in the Word of God. It's also important to realize that the answer to this woman's dilemma, the answer that Elisha gave to her, really began with emptiness. You go borrow empty vessels. Now, wouldn't it make more sense to go borrow vessels that are full? No, you go borrow empty vessels. That are vessels with nothing in them. And it does not say that she stopped pouring because she became tired. She stopped pouring when the empty vessels, the oil stopped flowing when the empty vessels were filled. When there were no more empty vessels, the oil stopped flowing. In other words, the only limitation that she had was how many empty jars, vessels that she had. As long as she had an empty vessel, there was a steady flow of oil. God fills empty vessels. And that is why we have to empty ourselves of ourselves. That is why we have to empty ourselves of self-will. That is why we have to empty ourselves of our own ideas, our own ways. Your own ideas and your own ways get in the way of God's blessing. We have to empty ourselves of these things. Empty ourselves of the world's ways. Empty ourselves of anything and everything that might grieve the Lord. Empty ourselves of all sin. Empty ourselves of all the rebellion that's in our lives. And if we would do that, we would see more miracles in our lives. God specializes in filling empty vessels. Now, if you're here today and unsaved, your situation right now is one of death. It is one of debt. It is one of bondage. It is one of bankruptcy. And the creditor. The creditor is coming. In other words, time is running out. Well, I see what you're saying. I want to think about it. Time is running out. Do you understand? Time is running out. You have less of it than you've ever had before. And that's true with each passing second. And the creditor is coming. And one day, he's going to knock on your door. When that day comes, it's too late. You are in debt. You are bankrupt. The creditor is coming. Well, I'm going to try this and I'm going to try that. You'll run out of options. You'll run out of resources. And the creditor is still coming. That you cannot prevent. If you're here and lost today, your situation is far more desperate than this woman's. Far more desperate. Well, this was a horrible place to be, and you're losing your two sons. But your situation is far more desperate. Your need is far, far more urgent. Because we're talking about eternity. We're not talking about losing a child. We're talking about eternity. Nothing compares. I don't care how bad it gets in this life. Nothing compares to an eternity in hell. Nothing. The worst thing that can happen to you is to die without the sin debt being taken care of. There is nothing worse. You can lose all your family in an automobile wreck. Lose all your family in a fire. But I'm telling you, nothing is worse than leaving this life with your sin debt unpaid. Nothing worse than leaving this life and you held accountable for your sin. Time is running out. Your time is coming to an end.